Welcome back to the DBM Strategy Call Part 1, guys, our weekly look at global activity relevant to our digital businesses. It's April 20th, 2026, and if you thought the action was behind us, this week's global stage had other plans. We're looking at a world where geopolitics isn't just a side story for Bitcoin anymore, it's the primary driver.
No kidding. Usually we're obsessing over hash rates or the latest cash flow setup, but this week everyone's eyes were glued to the Strait of Hormuz. The Trump ultimatum is basically the only chart that mattered.
Let's start there. For those catching up, the U.S. issued a time-bound demand for Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz to commercial shipping. We saw some wild swings when reports of a 45-day pause in hostilities leaked over the weekend, but that optimism was short-lived.
Right, because the deadline hit Tuesday and the rhetoric went next level. Trump reiterated that if the strait doesn't open, we're looking at targeted strikes on Iranian infrastructure. Bitcoin's reaction was fascinating. It didn't moon as a safe haven. It actually acted like a high beta risk asset, dipping slightly as investors rushed to the safety of the dollar and treasuries.
That's the geopolitical stagflation scare we've been talking about recently. And it's not just the Middle East. The tariff wall of 2026 is officially here. Average effective U.S. tariffs have climbed to around 11.1%, levels we haven't seen since the early 1970s.
And that is a secret killer for crypto liquidity. When you slap a 15 to 25% duty on Chinese manufactured goods, you're not just hitting electronics, you're hitting Bitcoin mining rigs. We're already seeing hash rate migration, where miners are trying to friendshore their operations to countries with better U.S. trade deals.
Exactly. And from a macro lens, tariffs are inherently inflationary. This has backed the Fed into a corner. We're heading into the April 28th FOMC meeting, and the market has effectively erased any hope for a rate cut. The consensus is a higher for longer hold at the 3.5 to 3.75% range.
Which is why Bitcoin is struggling to break past that $75,000 resistance definitively. When government bonds are yielding this much because the Fed is fighting tariff-driven inflation, the opportunity cost of holding a non-yielding asset like BTC goes up.
But it's not all doom and gloom, of course. Even with the liquidity crunch headlines, the institutional story is actually strengthening, in a big way.
You're referring to the Nomura and Laser Digital report?
Exactly. Their latest survey shows 4 out of 5 institutional investors are still planning to pile into Bitcoin over the next year. They see this current volatility as a preparatory period. They're not looking at the 24-hour candles, they're looking at the regulatory frameworks that are now snapping into place.
It's a tale of two markets. The degen side is getting whipped around by headlines of Iranian power plants and trade wars, while the suits are quietly building their entry points. Bitcoin is currently hovering around that 74K to 76K range, basically acting as a giant sponge for all this global uncertainty.
So, to summarize the geopolitics this week, the US dollar is firming up, the Fed is staying hawkish because of trade war inflation, and the Middle East remains a powder keg. If you're trading digital assets, you're no longer a tech investor. You're a geopolitical player operating close to the money supply. Keep informed to maximize the opportunity each week.
Okay, let's get closer to things we can actually affect as digital business owners. What about the absolute structural shift in how money is moving? I'm looking at the strategy ticker, formerly MicroStrategy, and my head is spinning.
So is mine. Have we just witnessed the Bitcoin singularity? Saylor didn't just buy the dip, he swallowed it. Strategy acquired over 11,000 BTC in a single day. The first time in history a corporation has done that. It's the math behind this model that's terrifying for the bears. They're using STRC, short-term reset convertible, also known as stretch. In just a 30-minute trading window, they likely captured $302 million in cash, because this isn't traditional debt. It's essentially captured equity. Saylor's front-running the global bond market in real time, built on a pure Bitcoin treasury.
Exactly. He's paying an 11.5% APY dividend in depreciating fiat to acquire an asset that, even by conservative 25% CAGR estimates, turns that $302 million into $2.8 billion in less than a decade. He's offering an out to fixed income investors who are currently being incinerated by sovereign insolvency.
Speaking of insolvency, did you see the UK gilt market this week?
I did. It was a canary in the coal mine moment.
Worse, the UK issued £15 billion of debt in one day, the largest issuance in British history at the highest yields in 20 years. The 30-year gilt hit 5.49%. The market is basically saying, we don't trust where this ends. Britain is borrowing money today just to pay the interest on the money they borrowed yesterday. It's the road to nowhere, and it's why Bitcoin, once again, is more like a life raft than a trade.
And the on-ramps to that life raft just got a massive upgrade. Two huge regulatory and institutional wins this week. First, the SEC killed the $25,000 pattern day trade rule. After 25 years, retail doesn't need a $25,000 minimum to day trade. That barrier is gone. Second, Charles Schwab is officially launching direct Bitcoin trading. We're talking about 38 million users and $12 trillion in assets under management.
Yes, if you're a retail investor, the gates are now fully open. And if you're actually using Bitcoin for payments, the news gets even better. The revised U.S. bill for tax-free stablecoin payments is a game changer.
This is huge for agentic commerce, machine-to-machine payments. The bill says if a stablecoin transaction stays within 1% of its peg, there's no gain or loss recognized. No more tracking every $3 cup of coffee for the IRS. It turns stablecoins into a functional global currency overnight.
Yes, it explains why Americans now own more Bitcoin than gold, according to Rivers' latest data. People are finally voting with their capital. The past week saw $663.9 million in ETF inflows in a single day, the strongest since January.
Before we go, we have to talk about the Friday fakeout with the Strait of Hormuz.
Right. The markets went into a frenzy. The S&P 500 broke 7,100 and the Nasdaq hit a 13-day win streak because Iran announced they'd reopen the strait during an Israel-Lebanon ceasefire. Oil, WTI, plunged 10% to below $84. Bitcoin even kissed 78,000.
And then the reversal.
Exactly. Iran accused the U.S. of breaching trust regarding the naval blockade of their ports. The strait reopening has been walked back. We're going into a new week with oil likely spiking and the war premium slamming back into the markets.
So, Strategy is leading the way and now holds nearly 4% of all Bitcoin, 780,897 BTC. The SEC has unleashed retail traders, and Schwab is bringing in the masses, all while the British bond market is screaming emergency, and most continue to be distracted by financial industrial complex brinksmanship in geopolitics as the world order resets.
The volatility is the price you pay for the singularity. Keep your eyes on the straight, but keep your eyes on the math for the long term. Better still, focus on what you can truly affect in your digital asset-based business. In part two of the weekly DBM strategy call, we do just that. Our journey towards a well-structured and balanced flywheel of reliable cash flow, powerful equity, and protecting purchasing power is heating up. See the show notes to access this week's session, and see you next time.